On a Saturday afternoon in mid-October of 1942, the men of the 372nd were told to pack their bags. Their training was being cut short, and they were being sent to California's Hamilton Field, then rushed overseas. Phil was crestfallen. Cece was about to come see him. He would miss her by 3 days. On October 20th, the squadron flew out of Iowa. At Hamilton Field, an artist was working his way down the plains, painting each one's name and accompanying illustration. Naming bombers was a grand tradition. Many B-24 crews dreamed up delightfully clever names, among them E. Pluribus Aluminum, Axis Grinder, The Bad Penny, and Bombs Nip On. Quite a few of the rest were shamelessly bawdy, painted with scantily clad and unclad women. One featured a sailor chasing a naked girl around the fuselage. Its name was Willie Maker. Louis had a snapshot taken of himself grinning under one of the more ribald examples. Phil's plane needed a name, and no one could think of one. After the war, the survivors would have different memories of who named the plane, but in a letter penned that fall, Phil would write that it was co-pilot George Mosnett who suggested Superman. Everyone liked it, and the name was painted on the plane's nose, along with the superhero himself, a bomb in one hand and a machine gun in the other. Louis didn't think much of the painting. In photographs, the gun looks like a shovel, but Phil loved it. Most crews referred to their planes as she. Phil insisted that his plane was all man. The men were slated for combat, but they hadn't been told where they would serve. Judging by the heavy winter gear, Louis thought that they were bound for Alaska's Aleutian Islands, which had been invaded by the Japanese months before. He was happily wrong. They were going to Hawaii. On the evening of October 24th, Louis called home for a last goodbye. He just missed Pete, who came for a visit only a few minutes after his brother hung up. Sometime after speaking to Louis, Louise pulled out a set of note cards on which she kept lists of Christmas card recipients. After Louis's last visit home, she'd taken out one of the cards and on it jotted down the date and a few words about Louis's departure. This day, she noted Louis's phone call. These were the first two entries in what would become Louise's war diary. Before he left Hamilton Field, Louis dropped a little package in the mail addressed to his mother. When Louise opened it, she found inside a pair of airman's wings. Every morning, through all that lay ahead for her, Louise would pin the wings to her dress. Every night, before she went to bed, she'd take them off her dress and pin them to her nightgown. On November 2nd, 1942, Phil's crew climbed aboard Superman and readied to go to war. They were heading into a desperate fight. North to south, Japan's new empire stretched 5,000 miles from the snowbound Aleutians to Java, hundreds of miles south of the equator. West to east, the empire sprawled over more than 6,000 miles from the border of India to the Gilbert and Marshall Islands in the Central Pacific. In the Pacific, virtually everything above Australia and west of the international dateline had been taken by Japan. Only a few eastward islands had been spared, among them the Hawaiian Islands, Midway, Canton, Funafuti, and a tiny paradise called Palmyra. It was from these outposts that the men of the AAF were trying to win the Pacific, as the saying went, one damned island after another. That day, Superman banked over the Pacific for the first time. The crew was bound for Oahu's Hickam Field, where the war had begun for America 11 months before, and where it would soon begin for them. The rim of California slid away, and then there was nothing but ocean. From this day forward, until victory or defeat, transfer, discharge, capture, or death took them from it, the vast Pacific would be beneath and around them. Its bottom was already littered with downed warplanes and the ghosts of lost airmen. Every day of this long and ferocious war, more would join them.